Do you know what Jimmy Buffett, Isaac Newton, and Humphrey Bogart have in common? They were all born on Christmas Day, which is the rarest day to be born on, with the exception of February the 29th. And I think it's fair to say that no kid really wants to be born on Christmas Day. Having a birthday on Christmas Day, it just gets lost in all the other festivities. I think kids who do have a Christmas Day birthday probably feel like they get robbed of having a special day of their own. Birthdays on Christmas are really hard, and they're hard because it's already a very special day. It's the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And aware of this reality, some parents who have children that were born on Christmas Day let those kids choose an alternative day to celebrate their birthday. And I think that's a great way to make their child feel special. Of course, the birth of every child is special, and it, without a doubt, changes everything for the parents. Just think about it. Once you have a baby in your life, you can't just get up and go because you have to consider the needs of the child. It becomes harder to go out, and when you do go out, you kind of gravitate towards friends who also have kids. And when you go out, you take your baby along with you, of course, and you have all that other stuff that goes with the baby. You have the car seats and the strollers and the change of clothes and the diapers, and on it goes. And then there's the lack of sleep that comes with having a baby. Everything changes when you have a child. Mary and Joseph's experience as new parents wasn't much different. They had to make the usual adjustments like every other parent, but they also had to deal with some visits from some of God's angels. And one of those messengers matter-of-factly informed Joseph that the child conceived in Mary was from the Holy Spirit. That message created some turbulence for them, but Mary and Joseph dealt with it and they moved on. Love overcame any jealousy that was there. Fear overcame their doubts. Courage helped them move through their fear. And the baby that had entered into their family changed everything. Now, no one is ever really ready for a baby. There's no course that you can take that tells you how to be a good parent, and there's no degree that you can earn that declares that you are fully trained and prepared to care for and be responsible for another human life. Now, being a parent is the most important job in the world, but no one is ever adequately trained for that job ahead of time. And frankly, it's a wonder that any of us survive to adulthood. But that's the way the world was designed. And we try to make the best of it, as did Mary and Joseph. Now, a few months after they had been visited by God's angels, they learned that they would need to travel to Bethlehem. And even though Mary was 9 months pregnant and terribly uncomfortable, Mary continued to make the best of it. And Joseph did the same. He went to every inn and guest house in Bethlehem looking for a place where they could stay. But the only option available to them was a stable, which would also serve as the delivery room. Luke tells us in verse 7 that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger. And as you know, a manger is nothing more than a feeding trough. And surely that's not the kind of cradle that Mary had imagined for her first child. But that's the place which God had led her and Joseph. The birth of Jesus is truly remarkable because it's the miracle of the incarnation. That word, incarnation, from its Latin roots, literally means in the flesh. Now, the Christian church has always maintained that God, in the birth of Jesus, entered the world in the same way that you and I entered the world. Now, I think we've grown accustomed to hearing about the incarnation, but it really is a radical claim to say that God has become fully human. Now, the Bible points out that God is holy, and the word holy means set apart. So something holy is fundamentally different from the ordinary things of this world. At the center of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem was a room called the Holy of Holies. And according to ancient belief, it was the place in this world where God was most reliably present. Now, no one was ever permitted to enter that room except for the high priest. And he could only enter that space once a year on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, which is when he would plead with the Lord to have mercy to not wipe out everyone on this earth in a fury of angry judgment. And tradition has it that the high priest would never enter the Holy of Holies unless he had a rope tied around his foot. And the other end of that rope was carefully held by another priest. Now, there was a reason for this odd practice. If the high priest had not been forthcoming in making his own confession of sin, and if he had therefore fallen dead in the presence of what's called the Shekinah, that is the bright cloud of God's presence that was said to fill that tiny room, then the fellow priest would be able to use that rope and haul out the dead body. Now, that's not the image that we have of God. You know, we don't think of God in this angry way, because everything changed with the birth of Jesus. God came into the world in flesh and blood. When Jesus was born, there was no terror. There was no anger. There was no instant death for any person who happened to look in the eyes of that precious baby. In fact, Mary was permitted to do something that no high priest in Israel had ever done. She held the Most High God in her arms. This baby changed everything, not only for Mary and Joseph, but for the entire world. Jesus' birth helps us see that God's deepest desire for us is that we would come into his presence, not from a place of fear, but from love. And Jesus calls us to himself and invites us into a deeper relationship. He wants us all to know that we're loved and we're cherished. He wants us to have abundant life. Now, everything about life that we carry that's ugly or broken or shameful can simply be laid beside the manger. We don't have to carry those heavy burdens with us any longer. The grown-up Jesus bears those burdens for us because there's no angry judgment there, just grace and acceptance and love. Now, the invitation that comes to us at Christmas is the invitation to draw near to the presence of Jesus Christ, whose coming into our world changed everything. Jesus was born for you and for me and for all people. His birth tells us that we're special. We are infinitely loved by our Creator. And the best thing that we can do is to welcome the gift of Jesus into our lives. And may we do so every day, not just on Christmas morning, but every day of the year. Amen. In just a moment, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. This sacred ritual reminds us of God's gift of Jesus Christ. God has come to us in the flesh to draw each of us into that deeper relationship that I just talked about. Now, we share the Lord's Supper as a way of remembering all that God has done for us through Jesus. We remember Jesus' birth. We also remember his life and his ministry, his death and his resurrection, as well as the promise that he will come again. And so as we remember these things, let's take a moment now to offer our prayers to God. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you for entering the world and offering us the gift of your Son. We thank you that through Christ, we have forgiveness and reconciliation with you. We thank you for the abundant life you've given us. And we pray that you will empower us to live in faithful ways that advance your kingdom in this world. Amen.